Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Shalom, family. Welcome again to Bible 101. It's your brother Dale Well. And I was just put some stuff in my heart and my mind, so I gotta tell it. There was a little bit of Molly music, and I'm not really sure the name of that song, because I like it. I believe it's I Got the Light. But, I like it because it's talking about change and the changes that the Most High does with a person. People see, you know, one of the things he says, you're trying to figure out what's going on with me. You're wondering about what's going on with me and this, that, and another. I got the light. Some changes happen when you deal with the Most High. You can't stay the same person. You know, when you're truly trying to follow the Most High, people are going to wonder, you know, what's different about this guy? You know, as they say, as he said in the song. But they don't have to wonder. They don't have to wonder at all. You know, you have the light. You even got that much closer to the Most High. You even got that. The baby steps are mounting up, and you're getting closer and closer. So change is happening. You know, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about today, is change. You know, the word says to examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. You know, and that's something that we always have to constantly do. Examine ourselves. We have to examine, you know, I believe the last time we were talking about examining leadership. You know, we have to constantly see if we're on that path, you know, because it doesn't take much to get us off that path. It doesn't take much for us to get distracted or take our eyes off the prize. It's a show that I really like called Brain Games. And one of the episodes was talking about focus and how our minds really, we're not trained, our minds don't process information. We can't do two things at once, basically. You know, so you have people who they have this one thing where people were dancing, and you had to count how many times the people stepped into a spotlight. So as the people were dancing, and you're counting how many times this man, these different dancers stepped into the spotlight, in the background you have like penguins and ducks and everything walking through, and nobody's paying attention because you're so focused on this one thing that there's all this other stuff going on, you know. But what, and that's what I mean, if we're not constantly examining every aspect, there's a lot of things that can creep in while we're focusing on one thing. You know, that's how Satan works. He knows our brains work like that. He knows that we can't multitask, so to speak. You know, so while we're focusing, and you see this with a lot of Israelites, they so focused on one aspect of the Torah that they miss so many others. And they get pigeonholed with this one aspect of the Torah, and they get dogmatic with this one aspect of the Torah, that they miss all the other things because it reads this way or it says this, not looking at the examples that the Most High has given. And that's not good. That's not good at all. That's not good for you if you're in a capacity of following, and it's definitely not good if you're in a capacity of leading. You cannot get pigeonholed in one aspect of the word. You know. But again, we're talking about change. And so I'll open in scripture. And with this in the until Abba tell me different. It's going to be our foundational scripture. So we're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. And we're going to go to verse 133. And this reads, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So, this is a psalm, and this is one of the most important psalms, because this is the one that speaks on each letter of the alphabet. And it just so happens that this falls under pay, the mouth. All right? And what he says is, order his steps. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So when we order our steps, and when we, not when we order our steps, let me take that back. When the Most High orders our steps within his word, because it says in thy word, in your word. So we have to let the Most High order our steps within that word. Iniquity or lawlessness or sin is not going to have any dominion over us. It's not going to be our boss. It's not going to have any authority. It cannot dominate. It can't govern us. All right? Because the word of the Most High will keep us away from that. It will keep us out of the power of sin. You know, out of the area that sin dominates. Because when you think of a dominion, in a sense of a dominion can be an area that is dominated by someone, like King's Dominion. You know, they were literally a dominion area that a king ran. So he had power over this area. Well, sin has power over our area. And the Most High will keep us out of it when he orders our steps within his word. His word keeps us. He keeps sin from exercising power over us. It tells us how to dominate sin. It teaches us, it gives us power. It gives us power beyond our belief. It gives us, as the song was playing, light. You know, that's what it gives us. So, Abba, order my steps in your word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Couple that with another psalm, Psalms 37, verses 3-5. These are two foundational scriptures. Psalms 37:3, it reads, trust in Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So when we trust in the Most High and do good, do tov. All right? Do that. He says we're going to dwell in the land and we're going to be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in Yahweh. So as we're trusting in the Most High, delight yourself in the Most High. And this Hebrew word for delight, number 6026 in your Strong's. And let me, pardon me, get your tools. Forgot to say that. But number 6026 in the Strong, this word is anag, and it means to be soft or pliable. That is, it says figuratively, effeminate, or luxurious. But when it's talking about being, it's not telling us to be effeminate in the way that the world takes it, like these dudes out there, these little soft, effeminate dudes. What it's saying is, let the Most High work with you to be soft or pliable. Don't be hard. Don't be resistant to the Most High. That's why gold is such a sought-after metal. It's a soft metal. Silver, sought-after metal. Soft metal. You can work with that and bring beauty to it. You know? But that's the type of person in me. Delight thyself also in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. So when you're soft or pliable and you're working with the Most High, when you're allowing him to, because remember, order thy steps within my word. So now we have to trust in the Most High. When you trust somebody, you allow them to work with you. You know? You allow them to shape you. You allow them to mold you. All right? Don't let a doctor you don't trust work on you. He's cutting and chopping and this, that, and another. And you don't trust him? Be soft. Be pliable. Allow the Most High to work with you. And he will give you the desires of your heart. When you work with him, according to his will, you might not get it when you want it, but you're going to get it. Verse 5, commit thy way unto Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So, Abba, order my steps in your word. Order them. Now, because you're ordering my steps, Father, I'm trusting in you. And because I'm trusting in you, I'm going to allow you to work with me the way you need to work with me, do the things that you need done within me. And because I'm doing that, I am now committing my way onto you. And he's going to bring it to pass. Why? He is the author and the finisher. Where's that scripture at? Hold on one second. Bear with me, fam. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse, well, we just want to start at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Father, order my steps and don't let sin have dominion over us. sin gets us off track. It gets us off track. So he says, order my steps, Father, in your word, that way sin won't have dominion over us. Now he says, after that, I'm trusting you in you, Father. I'm working with you, Father. I'm committing my way unto you, Father. So what have I become for Yahweh? A witness. And what happens? I am the light. I have that light. So what's different about you, brother? What's going on with you, brother? I tell you what's going on with me. I'm letting my Heavenly Father order my steps within his word, and I'm walking with him. And we're going to see that later. I'm committing myself with him, and he's bringing things to pass for me. I'm not fighting against him. I'm being pliable. I'm workable. So why haven't your situations changed, Israel? Are we still that hard-headed, stiff-necked people that the Most High, you can't work with a hard head? You can't move a stiff neck. You're not being pliable, Israel. So when our situations don't change, let's examine ourselves. Let's see where we're going wrong. Something's not right. But nobody wants to say something's not right in Israel. Everybody wants to say, well, my camp got the truth. Oh, we're here. We do this. Oh, no. We got the truth over here. Only Yahweh has the truth. It's his word. So all we have to do is follow it. That's all he's asked us to do from the get-go. Obey his voice. That's what he asked us to do. Obey his voice. But we have to be pliable. We have to be workable. So he says, starting with verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of it, you can't, when you're working with the Most High and you do what you say you're compassed about, that you can't escape it. Whether you want to or not. There's no way in the world I can say that Yahweh hasn't done for me. And that's me personally. That's my testimony. That's I'm witness to him. There's no way I can say that. There's no way. Every prayer I have ever prayed has been answered. Whether I like the answer or not, he answered me, period. So I'll bear witness that my Heavenly Father does what he say. So he says, wherefore seeing also our compass about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Yahushua, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, he is the beginning of our faith. He is the end of our faith. He begins our faith. He ends our faith. So that means as long as in the beginning when we catch faith of Yahushua, he set the weight down for you. He dropped a burden off your back to the point now you can run a race. You're not weighted down with sin. Why? He orders your steps within the word. Trust in him. He will bring forth, he's going to bring forth the things that he said. He's going to do it. He said he is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, endured the stake, because he knew the outcome of what was going on, because he understood, okay, Father, if it be any way, any other way, let this cup pass from before me. He prayed that twice. It wasn't the exact same prayer. He said, Father, the second time he said, if the only way that this cup can pass before me, let me endure it the second time. But in both cases, he says, not my will be done, but your will. Let your will be done, Heavenly Father. So because we have faith, and because he is the author of that faith and the finisher of that faith, meaning he's doing the whole shebang-a-bang when it comes to the perfecting of faith, the growing of faith. It begins with him. It ends with him. He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yah, because he had faith. Because he knew his Father at the end of this, hey, you ain't taking my life, Chuck. I'm going to give my life. And at the very end, my Father gave me the power to pick it up. I know that. I ain't even tripping. So I willingly give my life to you. They beat him. They beat him to the point where his own mother couldn't recognize him. Do you understand the viciousness and the type of person that had to do this? When it says he endured the shame, it's in the scriptures. Believe in the book of Leviticus. It says you're not supposed to beat your brother with more than 40 stripes. Because if you do, it shows that you hate them. So when they beat the flesh, literally, off of Yahusha at that stake, the world was showing that they despised him. They despised this word. They despise God. They plucked out his beard. Stuck a crown of thorns on his head. Stripped him. Spit on him. Slapped him. Any disgusting thing that you could do to a man to show that you hate them, they did to him. But he says, but the word says, who for the joy that was set before him. He knew that if he endured this, it was going to be more joyful. If he made it through this, he endured this. Much joy was spread upon not just Israel, the whole world. The whole world can experience this joy that the Most High has for him. So, now, back to what he said. He is the author and the finisher. When we commit our ways to him, he's going to handle it. Yahusha is going to handle those things. Now, Psalms 51. We're going to start at verse 5. So again, change has to happen. When we commit our ways to the Most High, He orders our steps. Father, order my guide our steps in your word. And when we work with the Most High, because there's things that we have to do. It's not just a work of Yahweh. There's things that we have to do. We have to work and be pliable. You know, we have to be willing to endure stuff that we don't want to endure. That's what we have to do. There's things that must be done on our part. It's not just some walk in the park. Heavenly Father, do this, and you sit back and do nothing. The word says that faith without works is dead. So you have to work. How are you going to expect something to grow? You take a seed, you put it into the ground, and you just sit there and just wait for it. You don't water it. You don't add any nutrients to the soil or anything like that. Well, first, you don't even break the ground up. Before you can plant a seed, you got to do some work. You're supposed to break the ground up so that the ground is pliable, so it works with that seed that you're going to plant into it. So anytime that you want growth, there's work to be involved on your behalf. The Most High is going to do His part. We just have to trust Him and commit our ways to Him. You know? That's why Yahushua said, look, y'all got to be like kids. Children are trusting of their parents. You know? They're going to do the things that their parents say. Do, you know? When they're real small. It's not until they get older that they start rebelling. When they think they know something, that they start rebelling. You know, but as a child, you know, when my son was younger, I would tell him to do something, and he did it. To the point where I say go to sleep, he would literally lay down and go to sleep. Literally, it don't matter if he was sleepy or not. He laid down and took his butt to sleep. You know, he made himself go to sleep. Now he's a little bit older, he got a little bit of mouth on him, you know. He rebelled a little bit, so got to pop him sometimes, just to remind him who Papa is. But back to this. Psalms 51, verse 5. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So from the jump, we messed up. Iniquity dominates us. It shaped us. Sin was our conceived, we were conceived in sin from the beginning. So there is a necessity for Yahweh to order our steps. This isn't an optional thing. It is a necessity for this to happen. All right? Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth. Or, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me know wisdom. You design this truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. In other words, order these steps. Order me through this word. Order me in truth, Father. Order me. We're going to jump down to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit in me. Whenever you're talking about the spirit, you're talking about the mind. In other words, our mind has to be renewed, like Brother Paul said. He says, create in me a clean heart. My heart is dirty. You understand how my mind is. You say, my mind only imagines evil things continually. So when you say, create in me a clean heart, because I have a dirty mind, I got a dirty heart, and renew in me a right spirit. Put that spirit back within me where I commune with you. See, when I commune with you, I wasn't thinking evil things. And when I say I mean our father Adam. Okay? Put that back within me. Alright? We're going to jump down to verse 13. It says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. The word converted, number 7725. In your Hebrew section of the lexicon, that word is shub, one that we're familiar with. It means turn back. So, Father, order my steps. I'm going to work with you. I'm trusting you. I'm committing my way to you. And as this is happening, he's creating a clean heart within us. He's renewing our mind. Now I can teach transgressors. I can teach people who break your law, transgressors of the law, your ways. Because they're going beyond the limits of your law. That's what they're doing. I can teach people this when you renew this mind within me. He says, and sinners, people who break your law, people who practice, people who are under the dominion or under the power of sin, shall turn back to you. Why? You're not under that power. Sin has no dominion over you. You have overcome Yahushua. He's overcome that. Sin has no power over him. That's it. So when we do these things, we turn back into the original state of Adam. Because there was a time when sin did not dominate man. There was a time when man was blameless. There was a time when this world was not like this. When men and women got on, lived in harmony with the Mighty One. Okay? So, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it reads, the word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, so after Jeremiah saw this potter working, making a vessel, a little nick was in it. So what happened is the potter decides to make the vessel again, as it seemed good to the potter. After Jeremiah saw that, then the word of Yahweh came to him. And this is what Yahweh said. O house of Israel, verse 6, cannot I do with you as this potter? Israel, Yahweh is our creator. He created us. We did not create him. So how is it? And it goes out to Israel, but it's for every human being on this planet. If we are in Yahweh's hands, and if we are his creation, does he not have the right to create us in the way, fashion us in the way that he seen fit, that he wants to fashion us? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Yahweh. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. So, Israel, if Yahweh seems, if it seems good to Yahweh to give us a land and we dwell in it, we're in his hands and that seems good to him. If it seems good to Yahweh that he give us his oracles, his laws, his statutes, his judgments, him being Yahweh, he can do that. If it seemed good to Yahweh that we endure 400 years of slavery, where in his hands, he can do that. He told the prophet, eat the whole scroll. It's going to be sweet to the taste, but bitter to the belly. There are things that the Most High has for us that are going to be nice. But there's hardships too. See, but Israel's problem has been and always will be hard-headed, stiff-necked, whine, complain, yada, 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 against the Most High. Non-compliant. Always been. What's the word? Insubordinate, literally, to our Heavenly Father from the time we exited Egypt as a nation. Sent the deliverer down there. You tell the deliverer. We told the deliverer. Oh, I want to go back to Egypt. Oh, ain't nothing to drink. Oh, ain't nothing to eat. Oh, I'm sick of eating this light bread, as the word say. We have always been non-compliant with the Most High. But Yahweh said, you're in my hands. I'm shaping you. I'm molding you. Israel, it is I, Yahweh, who do all this. I form the light and the dark. Okay? So, another thought came to my mind. So, you have a woman. You have a woman who prays for her husband, right? And they want their husband. And they pray and they they want their husband to be a godly man. And then they go out and they don't get a godly man. They go get a thug. But you're praying for this godly man to be in your life. Well, eventually the thug comes and he turns his heart and his mind to the Most High. So now he begins faith with Yahushua. And now a change is going about. But within that change, he's fighting. You know? He's fighting the change because change is never easy. It's never easy. There's things about us that we don't want to give up. So we become that hard head, stiff neck against the Most High. And sometimes the change takes a little longer than it should. But eventually change comes. And now you're not that man that she fell in love with. You're someone else. And she don't want you no more. See, but here's the thing. You asked for that. And the same thing goes for a man who is asking for a godly woman and go out here and get a stripper or something like that. Go out here and get somebody that is outside already of what you ask for. Well, the Most High is going to give you the desires of your heart according to his word. He's going to work with that person and turn them into the desire of your heart, a person who loves him, if that's what your heart desires. But you have to give him time. You have to give him time. And when you get that thing, and you see these transformations, and you see him going, well, you're not the same. You pray for that. You ask for that. Because what you're actually saying to the Most High, when you say, Father, I want a godly man, I want a godly man, I want a godly man, then you go out and get a thug, what you're really telling the Most High is, I want you to change this thug into a godly man. That's in essence what you're saying. Because this is the man you chose, or this is the woman you chose, vice versa. So if that's what you want from the Most High, you have to endure the change. And he will give you the desires of your heart. But a lot of times, we don't endure the change. You know? So what is it different about you? And you stop hanging with your friends, your quote-unquote friends. And you start doing things different. See, so the Most High takes your old friends and moves them out and gives you new friends. He takes your old family, because a lot of times the word say a man's enemies will be the members of his house. This family out and give you a new family, ones that's after his heart. In his mind. But you can't figure out what's going on. So what do? You're confused. you know. Because sometimes we don't understand that Yahweh is in control. And he's going to do with a person what he's saying fit. He's going to do with a man or a woman what pleases him. Let's go to Isaiah 45. We'll go read verse 9 to 13. And he reads, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." Flat out. Stop fighting the hands of the Most High. We're in this predicament. Why? We fought the hand of the Most High. So it seemed good to Yahweh to give us unto a people who would be cruel to us. He decided to do that with his people, with Israel. Why? Because when the words say we disobeyed him, that's what we're doing. We're striving against him. We're fighting against him. He says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth." You ain't on his level, basically. If he's the potter and a potsherd is, that's the pieces of clay. You ain't on his level. But yet you're going to keep on making offenses against him. You want to keep on running your mouth against the Most High. You're not on his level. If he's so pleased, he can shut you up for good if it seems good to him. But when you say, "I'm long-suffering, I'm going to endure this. I'm going to endure it." Let the potsherds drive with the potsherds. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, "What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands." So shall the clay say to the one who's fashioning, "Man, what you doing? What you making?" What are you going to tell the clay? "Whatever I please, you're in my hands. You're going to become what I want you to become. If I want to make an ashtray, I'm going to make an ashtray. If I want to make a bowl, I'm going to make a bowl. If I feel like making you to a cup, that's what I'm going to do." Verse 10. "Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou?" That's the same thing. What you making, Dad? You talking about yourself. What you doing, Pop? "But to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? What am I?" Verse 11. "Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker." So that's two people talking. For those keeping score. "Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." I did this. I made you, man. You didn't make me. That's what he's saying. You asking me about these, about my sons? Really? What you going to tell me about you? I made you. I made you. I'm telling you, you're evil. How you going to tell me you good? You don't even know what good is. How are you going to tell me you love You don't even know what love is. How are you going to tell me anything about you? I made you. I formed you, man. I did this. How are you going to tell me about the heavens? That's what else he's saying. I stretched out the heavens. I put these planets up here. I tell you how to keep time. You don't tell me how to keep time. I created time. I tell you what the Sabbath is. We're going to keep the Sabbath. I put these seasons. I put these stars. I did this. You didn't make no sun, man. And when I say sun, the sun that's up in the sky, that big ball of fire just sitting there, warming us from however millions of miles away that men lie about because they really don't know. There's no way that you can accurately measure that because you can't get that close to the sun. Anyway, it says, verse 13, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways when we commit ourselves. Order my steps, O Yahweh, in your word. I'm going to most high will direct man in righteousness. Why? We don't know what it is to be righteous. We are shaped in iniquity. We are conceived in sin. So it is a necessity for us to have our steps ordered. It's necessary. This is not an option, people. The Most High has to order our steps. He has to do it. We can't do it ourselves. We can't. We have to be led in God. We have to be led by His Spirit. There's no other way. Verse 13 here. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahweh of hosts. Now, again, go to the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 20 through 24. Again, we are in his hands. It's not about what we want. Not our will be done, but thy will be done, Father. Create this clean heart within me, for me, Abba, that I may teach people who are like me. Shaped in sin, conceived in, shaped in iniquity, conceived in sin, so I can teach them to obey your law. But it's only after that clean heart is created within you that you can do that. Romans chapter 9, verse 20, and it reads, nay, the old man who... Let's read verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against Yah? So, who are you, man, that when the Most High says that a day starts evening and morning. Who are you, old man, to say that a day starts at 12 o'clock at night? Who are you, man, when Yahweh says that the Shabbat is the last day of the week? You count 7 days, day one, day two, three, four, five, six, Shabbat, and it keeps on going like that. Who are you, man, to say, nope, Shabbat is transferred now to the first day? This is our day of rest, the Lord's Day, as it's called. So, why is man back-mouthing the Most High? Because in all his actions, in all the things that the Most High has done, we have a reply for it. It's sort of like you tell your son, sit down. No, I don't want to sit down. That wasn't an optional thing. I told you, sit down. And that's all I told him. We shouldn't have all these replies from the Most High. Okay? He says, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against Yah? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why'd you make me like this, Father? Shall the thing formed. So when you're going through these struggles, when you're going through different things, who are you to say, oh, why are you doing this to me, Father? And when I say that, I mean it this way. I'm not worthy, I don't deserve this. In that type manner, that's what I mean. Because you do have the right to ask the Heavenly Father that you need to learn from this lesson. What is it that you need to learn by going through these struggles? What is it that you're trying to bring forth within me, Father? You have the right to ask that. You have the right. He said he's not going to hide these things from you. If a man seek knowledge, a man lack knowledge, let him ask of the Most High. Let him ask of Yah, who gives freely. So if you want to know something, you want to know something about your life, you have the right to ask your Father. But you can't go about it in a way that, I'm not deserving it. Oh, him, Papa, why are you doing this to me? And all that stuff. All that complaining, like our forefathers did. Oh, it's not enough graves out. It wasn't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out in the wilderness to die. Come on. First of all, I brought you out in the wilderness to celebrate my Shabbat, that you may worship me freely. That's the reason why I brought you out here. I told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let you go, that you may sacrifice unto me, that you may feast unto me out in the wilderness. I didn't bring you out here to die, which is something that people should think about anyway. Wasn't nothing growing in the wilderness. But yet we're going to have a feast in the barren place. You need water to survive in the wilderness. Yet you're going to live out there. So when the people got thirsty, he brought water from a rock. I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to have you trust me. I'm going to show you the things that I'm able to do, that you will commit your way unto me. That's what I'm going to do for you, Israel. Just follow me. Just do what I tell you. Just do what I tell you. Don't rebel against me. Because it got to the point where the Most High got tired of it. And Moses had to say, oh, man, how long are these people going to rebel against me? I'm tired of them. Now, if Moses get away from them, I'm about to wipe all of them out. And I'm going to start over with you. Why? You're listening to me. You committed your way to me. You trust me, Moses. Moses told Yahweh, look, I do trust you. But if you wipe these people out, how the rest of the world going to trust you? The Egyptians going to find out, and they're going to tell everybody, you killed them because you were not able to do, you were not able to do what you said you was going to do. So if they say that, how is the rest of the world going to trust you, Yahweh? How? I trust you. I understand. Me and you, be good. But be patient with them. All right. Because you asked me to, Moses, I'm going to be patient with him. Man, you cool. You're my friend. But because someone trusted Yahweh, someone was committing themselves to Yahweh, and because he was there, he taught the rest of the nation by his example. So the whole nation didn't get right. But Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister to Moses, he understood some stuff. Caleb. He understood some stuff. Somebody took notice. But back to Romans, chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, but old man, who art thou that replies against Yah? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Verse 21. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So, Yahweh has a purpose for people. Now, the word says this, that he takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. Let me find that. One second. Ezekiel 33:11. It says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Master Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? So number one, in Ezekiel, he was calling the house of Israel wicked. First to begin with. Oh, man, I've been around you all too much. Okay. All right. In the first place, I love you, bro. Okay, it says, first of all, he called the house of Israel wicked. He don't have pleasure. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, even outside of the house of Israel. He takes no pleasure in people transgressing his law, because that's who the wicked is. The righteous is the people who follow his law. So, I'm not taking any death in them. So, those people who follow his law are the vessels made for honor. They have brought some honor upon themselves that the Most High honors. The Most High gives them honor. But there are vessels who are going to be made for dishonor. They're going to bring dishonor upon themselves. Why? Because they want to stay in their wickedness. So Yahweh said, turn ye, or shub, like he talked about those transgressors, turning back to Yahweh, shubing, turning around. Turn that dishonor into honor. what happened to Adam. Adam was made, and when he was made, Tov Meod overflowed with so much goodness, it cannot be contained in this day. But then he fell. So his honor became a dishonor. So what did he say? Turn back around. Everybody is saved. Everybody has honor within the Most High, within the Most High's eyes. But people are going to choose to be dishonorable. And because you are choosing to be made, choosing to be a dishonorable vessel, what does it say? Verse 22, what if Yah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So we had Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, had the children of Israel in bondage. He had plenty of time to let the people go. But the word says that Yahweh hardened his heart to bring honor upon himself, that he may gain fame. Now, how did that happen? He just gave Pharaoh his heart's desire. Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go. Pharaoh just wanted the plagues to stop. So when he say, okay, Moses, this hail coming down, I can't take it. Look, tell Yahweh I'm going to stop. And Moses would pray, I'll let the people go if he stopped the hail. Moses would pray the hail would stop, and his heart hardened. So Yahweh gave him the desire of his heart. No, I don't let him go. Another plague will come. Oh Moses, this plague, yada 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 yada. Tell your God that I let him go if they stop the plague. And then Moses did it. Plague stopped and heart hardened again. I ain't letting him go. To the point where one time Moses said, "Look, man, I'ma just go ahead and pray. I already know you ain't going to let the people go. You ran this line on me a couple times, man. You know, I'm tired of you saying that. You know, I already know you ain't gonna let the people go. I'ma ask the Most High to stop the plague, but you know, you ain't gonna let the people go." Because it was in his heart not to let the people go. This was his choice. Yahweh says, we'll get to that in a minute. He says, what if Yah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So now, while all that's going on, darkness from Egypt, light and virtue, cattle being maimed down in Egypt, Israel's cattle was fine. The death angel passes through Egypt, killed the firstborn of everything. Blood on the door. Israel spared. And because of that, and they saw the power of Yah, they saw the power of Yahweh, a mixed multitude came out of Egypt. It wasn't just Israel that came out, contrary to what some brothers believe. Because they'll tell you, well, Israel is a mixed multitude. Here, you know, you got the tribe of this people and the tribe of that people, so they're a mixed multitude. Yeah, but that's all Israel. You some of the Egyptians saw that power, and they rolled out of Israel. I understand this. Their God is powerful. Their God can get stuff done. Their God, where was Ra when Yahweh came through? Where was Isis? Where was Horus? Where was all the gods of Egypt when Yahweh came through? Where was the Nile God? He turned the Nile to blood. He turned all those sweet, sweet waters into blood, and the fish and it died, and all of Egypt was stinking. Where was the Nile God? Why couldn't the sun come out when Yahweh said, look, I ain't gonna see the sun. We'll put this thick darkness over Egypt to blot out the sun. Why didn't Ra come through? They saw that, and they saw the power of Yahweh, and they rolled out with him. Why? Because he gained honor. He gained fame. Verse 24. And I just wanted to read 24. Even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. In other words, he prepared some vessels for glory, for honor. And it wasn't of the Jews only. It was of the Gentiles. There are some Gentile people that he has prepared. Saved. That only the natural born is going to be saved. That y'all brothers out there who are doing these people wrong, got white women and white people kissing your feet and telling them that they can't go to, they're not going to be saved. Y'all are going to get dealt with severely. Severely, the Most High is going to deal with you. You are taking people's hope. You're stealing from them. You're nothing but a thief and a robber. You are putting those people back into the situation that they came out of. The word said that they were without hope. Outside of the commonwealth of Israel. And what is a commonwealth? Y'all going to get dealt with severely, because some of those people might have been made with this honor in mind that the Most High had for them. Just like Cyrus, his anointed. He wasn't an Israelite. Cornelius wasn't an Israelite. But these people were made with honor in mind, because the Most High knew. You brothers are evil. Y'all need to change your ways. Y'all need to look into that doctrine that you run around here like a bunch of parrots mimicking. They can't prove one word of it outside, within the word. You can't find it within the word. And y'all twist the word, and y'all going to be dealt with severely. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Yah and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So somebody. A master is the one who trains the student. So if you have a master and you're working underneath him, show your master the proper respect. Verse 2. And they that had believing masters, so now he's talking about in a worldly sense, even showing people outside the faith, if you call someone your master or teacher or somebody who's showing you things, somebody who's helping you along, show them and give them the honor they are due. And that's in the worldly sense. But it says, and they that had believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Don't be out here teaching people to dishonor their master, because if your teacher is teaching you something, teaching you how to, let's say, if you're a carpenter, he's teaching you how to put together furniture. And he's teaching you, and he's a good master, and he's showing you these different things. Don't allow somebody to come in and challenge what he's teaching you. As long as he's showing you good. Don't let them talk crap about the person who's shaping and molding you, because you hold them in the same esteem that you hold your father or your mother. The same way, you know, back in the day, nowadays I hear people say different stuff about people's mamas and, you know, stuff like that, but when I was younger, they were fighting words. You know, they was fighting words. You know, you don't just talk loosely about people's mothers. That's just stuff you don't hear. You know, nowadays wickedness has increased, so people go out and say and do whatever. No consequence to them, but you know, you're not supposed to allow that. Right? He says that these things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our master, Yahushua HaMashiach, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. In other words, defend that word. Don't let people talk trash about your master, the one who's shaping and forming you. What's going on? What is he showing you? That's not right. This, that. If the doctrine is sound and he's ordering your steps, don't talk trash about your master. Don't let him do it. The same way these Christians, you talk trash about Jesus to some of these people, you got a fight on your hands. Why? He's that beloved. And it should be the same way for us. It should be the same way when people try to come for the head of Yahushua HaMashiach, our master, our redeemer. Ain't no disrespecting and this, that, and another. It should be the same way. Verse 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our master, Yahushua HaMashiach, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strikes a word, whereof cometh envy, fruit of the flesh, strife, fruit of the flesh, railings, fruit of the flesh, evil surmisings, fruit of the flesh. Why are these things going wrong with this person? Because Yahweh, he did not allow Yahweh to order his steps in his word. So when he says, because you are not allowing Yahweh to order your steps within his word, you have an issue with the wholesome words of Yahushua. In other words, you don't believe in the Messiah. Because Yahweh did not order your steps through his word. You can't see that when Yahushua spoke, he only spoke to him. That's all he spoke. That's it. But because the Most High, because you did not, because you're not pliable, you don't believe. So from that, you have all these things of the flesh. Your flesh rises up. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, evil thoughts. That thought process goes evil again. It goes evil. Doubting questions. Got all these questions and then stripes of words because you get the answer. Now you want to argue. It ain't the answer you was looking for because you didn't believe in the first place. And because you don't understand, because the Most High did not, you did not allow the Most High to order your steps. Now, that's where all this confusion comes from. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, that tells you where people's minds are anytime they preach this prosperity ministry. And because people are not allowing the Most High, if we would just allow him to do what he do, he knows the way. He knows the way better than anybody. He knows what is within his word. He put it there. How are you going to tell the Most High he didn't mean something that he inspired his prophets to write? How are you going to tell the author of a book what he was thinking when he penned the words? When have you counseled Yahweh on anything? You were not there when he stretched out the heavens as he said he did. You were not there when he formed the sun. You were not there when he made the cloud. You were not there when he formed man. How are you going to tell the Most High what's best for the flesh that he breathed his spirit into? How? And because of all that, all these things of the flesh come up. All these evil speakings.
It's all right to be gay.
No, it's not. Yahweh said it ain't.
It's okay to eat pork.
No, it's not. He said don't eat it. It defiles the body. It causes your body to function in the way it's supposed to function. All this hypertension and cancers and all this stuff directly related to diet. But it's okay to eat. He says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute. destitute of the truth. They don't have the word in them. Destitute of it. In desperate need of the word, but they're going to give you every little thing. Well, science says, and math says, and this says. What does Yahweh say? Who taught you how to count? Who taught man how to count? Where did numbers come from? Somebody had to create them. Because in the beginning, he said day one, day two, day three. He taught you how to count. Destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. They never read that part. Be happy with what you got. Why? It was prepared for you. The Most High prepared these things for you. He knows what you need. He's ordering your steps. You might not need $1 million right now. You might not be able to handle it. It might make you lose your mind. Look at some of these people who out here got all the money in the world just doing every wicked thing that they can find. They grew up broke. Now they got all the money in the world and they're doing every wicked thing that they can think of. But gain is godliness. He said, from that person, get away from him, bro. Run. Don't be around people like that. Don't be around people with that mindset. All right? So, we're going to close up. But the Most High just put it on my mind. We have to be pliable. We have to work with the Most High and allow him to do what he's going to do. We have to allow him to order our steps within this word if we are to understand anything, if we are to grow with him. He does his part, we do our part. Right? We're going to end in the book of Micah. Book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. So in the beginning, Yahweh said, here's a tree of life. And then there's this tree of the knowledge of good. So he's showing us what is good. He has showed you, oh man, what is good. Because when we partook of that fruit, we understood what was evil. He says, after they partook of that fruit, of the knowledge of good and evil, then we became like him, knowing good and evil. So he has shown you what is good. Oh, man. And what does Yahweh require of you? What is it that Yahweh asks us to do? He says, all I'm asking you to do, man, is to do justly. Do right by me. And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with your Elohim. How do we walk humbly with our mighty one? By being that pliable clay. By allowing him to form us in the way that he wants to form us, by not being that hard-headed, stiff-necked sons and daughters that he's always had. says, walk with me. That's all I want from you. I'm going to order your steps, and then trust me, commit your way to me, and walk humbly with me. That's all he asks of us. So, brothers and sisters, I hope Yahweh edify you and increase your knowledge of him, that he cleanses your heart and your mind. Mine also, when I say you, I mean me too. Cleanses our heart and our mind. And just renew that spirit within us day to day. Because every day is a new experience and another chance for us to get closer to him. So, this is Brother Dale Orell, Bible 101. I bid y'all shalom.